Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
It's Black History Month, and here on Reset, we have been celebrating the stories of noteworthy Black Chicagoans. Today, we learn about labor rights activist and anarchist Lucy Parsons. She was born in 1851 and spent 5 decades fighting for justice and fair labor laws. There's a park in Belmont Cragen and an affordable housing complex in Logan Square named after her. And just this past week at City Council, Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa introduced and passed a resolution to designate March 7th as Lucy Gonzalez Parsons Day. But do you know her story? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We were joined by Jacqueline Jones, professor of women's history at UT Austin and the author of Goddess of Anarchy, The Life and Times of Lucy Parsons, American Radical. We began with some of her early life details, where she was from and how she made her way to Chicago. Here's Professor Jones.
She was born in Virginia to an enslaved woman in 1851. And during the Civil War, her owner, the owner of her family, forcibly removed the whole household, all his enslaved workers, to Central Texas because he thought he would get his property, his human property, out of the way of the Union Army. Lucy moved to Waco after the war with her mother and her siblings. In 1871, she married a white man, Albert Parsons, a Republican organizer, and together they left for Chicago in late 1871, early 1872. I think probably because Albert had colleagues, friends who were German Americans, active in the Republican Party in Texas at the time. And the Parsons, the couple, did move to the German neighborhood in Chicago when they came to that city.
So back in the 1930s, Parsons often spoke at what was known as Bug House Square, a free speech zone in Washington Square Park on the near north side. I want to play a little tape of journalist Studs Terkel describing that scene.
The one I remember so graphically was this little old lady, light-skinned black woman, Lucy Parsons. And Lucy Parsons would speak there on occasion, recall the event, but still speak about events of the moment, fighting the Depression in favor of Social Security, whatever it was in those days, unemployment compensation, fighting the idea of capitalism. I remember she was fervent. And I remember she wore a flowered hat. I'll never forget that.
So it sounds like Parsons gave some pretty fiery speeches, Jacqueline. What issues was she most outspoken about?
Yes, she was known as a very powerful orator. She took several lecture tours around the United States during her career and, of course, often spoke in Chicago as well. She denounced growing inequality, the gap between the rich and the poor. She said the two major political parties were inadequate to address the major problems afflicting the laboring classes in the United States. She also denounced the federal government. So she was an advocate of workers and especially the white laboring classes. And as I said, she was very much embedded in a radical German-American community at the time.
Yeah. Chicago police reportedly described her as, quote, more dangerous than 1,000 rioters. What's the story behind that quote?
They really worried about it when she was scheduled to give a speech. And I have seen reports where she goes up to the podium and then she is surrounded by police officers who fear that her words are really going to incite a riot or lead her listeners to go out and do physical harm to the capitalists. They are very worried about her eloquence and her passion, because she really could move audiences. She was very popular with laboring class audiences.
Mm-hmm. She was also known as an anarchist. What did that term mean back then?
It's a little murky because there were a lot of different kinds of anarchists, but she rejected socialism because she felt the socialists wanted to participate in the political system. They ran for office. They were interested in reforming American politics and economy. She was looking for a more radical solution. Mm-hmm. So she and other anarchists in Chicago at the time issued political campaigning. She never voted. She urged people not to vote, that it was a meaningless gesture. But there is some murkiness about her anarchism, I must say, because she was not a libertarian per se. She believed in collective action. She believed in groups of workers living together, supporting each other. So she was not necessarily a radical individualist.
Now, Jacqueline, Lucy was married to Albert Parsons. He was a central figure in the labor movement back then. Tell us a bit more about him.
Yes, he fought in the Confederate Army. His brother was a general in the Confederate Army. He was originally from Alabama. But after the war, when he moved to live with relatives in Central Texas, he was drawn to the Republican Party, and he felt that that was the future of politics in Texas. He organized among newly enfranchised Black voters. He was quite radical. At the time, he considered himself a Republican, later a socialist. But when he moved to Chicago, he and Lucy by 1884 had declared themselves to be anarchists. Mm-hmm. And he started a paper called Alarm, which really did alarm the authorities because it was radical. She wrote an essay for one of the first issues called Two Tramps about using dynamite to attack the enemies of the laboring classes.
Yeah. And when you look up Lucy Parsons, her identity seems to be kind of a mystery, right? She didn't necessarily identify as Black. How did she understand or discuss her racial identity?
She did not discuss it at all. And in fact, it was when she began her first national speaking tour in the fall of 1886, after Albert and others had been convicted of the Haymarket bombing of May of that year. She took to the road to earn money for the defense, and she adopted a totally new identity at that point. Mm-hmm. She declared that she was the daughter of indigenous and Mexican parents, that she had been born in Texas. And this was not true. Mm-hmm. I think she thought perhaps she wouldn't be taken seriously if she presented herself not only as a woman of color, but also as a formerly enslaved person.
Yeah, and as a Black woman, you know, let's be specific. This was a time when, you know, women were fighting for the right to vote. Black Americans and allies were fighting for civil rights. Did Lucy's work go beyond labor activism?
Yes, she was a fascinating character. She was a writer and quite a good one. I think she wrote poetry, short stories, even science fiction. She was a talented seamstress, and if you've seen pictures of her, she looks very elegant. Mm-hmm. The Studs Terkel interview referenced her hat with a flower. She was actually very vain of her appearance because many of her contemporaries, men and women, described her as very beautiful. So she was a mother. She had two children. And she was very active in that German-American community in Chicago in the late 19th, early 20th century. Mm-hmm. She Also was a supporter of the Industrial Workers of the World, founded in Chicago in 1905. So she was a really fascinating history.
Oh, for sure. Well, she died on March 7th, 1942. So leave us with this. When it comes to her legacy, what's the kind of effect that you think her activism has had?
Well, I think most people have never heard of Lucy Parsons. And one of the reasons is because in her time, she was a powerful orator, and we really don't have any recordings of her speeches.
Yeah.
So that, I think, has limited her legacy in the sense that, on the other hand, a lot of the issues that she brought to the fore are very much with us today.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Jacqueline Jones, who's professor of women's history at UT Austin, and the author of Goddess of Anarchy, The Life and Times of Lucy Parsons, American Radical. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Alyssa Manthi and Ari Mejia. It was edited by Dan Tucker. For Black History Month, Reset has been featuring Black Chicagoans throughout history. To catch those conversations and more, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen or check us out at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely